Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
2 decades after the American CIA began flying drones around Afghanistan, these small unmanned aircraft have become a part of our lives. Drones are now being used in archaeology, transforming painstaking survey work with their ability to take multiple detailed images with various types of cameras from the air. Well, our reporter Lorna Siggins has been spending time with archaeologists involved in such projects in the west of Ireland, and she joins me now from Galway. Lorna, have you actually seen some of these flying archaeologists at work?
Yes, Sarah. I was out at Ross Cam off the old Oranmore Road on a better day than Galway is today. And I met up there with a group of both Irish and American archaeologists, the latter from the University of Minnesota. And they had come to undertake studies at Ross Cam, which translates from the Irish as Crooked Peninsula, and it's best known for its round tower. There are also the remains of an extensive monastery there, which was raided and destroyed by the Vikings in 805. And farmer Pat King owns the land around Roscam Abbey, and he was out with his tractor. I couldn't see any archaeologists digging, but I could hear another noise in the distance. And when I looked up, it was neither a bird nor a plane, but a drone being flown over the abbey by Dr. Paul Nessens of Western Aerial Surveys.
Well, it's a bit of a long story, I suppose. My interest in miniaturised aircraft goes back to the 1970s when my father used to take me flying remote-controlled airplanes with the world-scale champion Tommy Short from Bray in County Wicklow. Then when I became an archaeological surveyor in the early noughties, I originally used terrestrial instruments on the ground. Then with the emergence of drones, I suddenly realised that we could complete a month's survey effectively of terrestrial survey in less than a day using these small miniaturised GPS controlled drones. Universities in the US employ us to survey over here and send the surveys over to them, and it saves them a fortune. They don't even have to come to Ireland to view these landscapes. But I also work for companies like SSE Electricity and the Galway Wind Park. I work measuring spoil heaps in quarries and measuring how much it would take to fill in a quarry when it's disused. We work doing surveys in seaweed and algae analysis. I mean, the uses are absolutely endless.
And you had to do some work at Dublin Airport as well.
We did. There's this misconception that you can never fly near an airport, but you can apply for permission from air traffic control to fly near or even in an airport. And in this case, Dublin Airport Logistics Park was being redeveloped. We applied for permission, thinking we're never going to get permission to fly here a mere half kilometre off the main runway in Dublin Airport. But lo and behold, 10 days later, we were granted our permission under strict conditions to carry out the survey. And in the course of the survey, we discovered a number of skeletons orientated east-west, indicating that there seemed to have been some kind of early Christian burial at the site.
So, Lorna, the use of these drones, it must make the work of an archaeologist an awful lot easier.
Yes, Sarah, on a number of levels. And along with other new techniques, they're being used at the Royal Complex of Rathcrohan, which is near Tulsk in County Roscommon. And it's one of the most significant but least appreciated archaeological landscapes on the island. Rathcrohan's highlights include a natural limestone cavern named Uafn na Gat, or the Cave of Cats, which mountaineer and writer Dermot Summers once described as a crack in the floor of time. And that's because it was reputed to be a gate to hell marked by Morrigan, who harassed the cattle raiders of the Toynbo Cúilnge. And that's one of the more memorable stories associated with Rathcrohan, but it requires a fair degree of knowledge and imagination on the part of the visitor to picture how its array of some 60 monuments once looked. So NUI Galway Archaeology Field Officer Joe Fenwick has worked with Paul Nessens on creating a computer-generated 3D map. And Joe explained to me why he thinks drone technology has really helped to complete the jigsaw puzzle.
There was a time when I first started archaeology when you were doing terrestrial survey, which we were doing all of your survey on the ground. So to appreciate a landscape like Rathcrohan, You really need to see it from above because it's such an enormous site, really. It's an archaeological landscape. It's peppered with archaeological sites and monuments. But when you're walking through it, you come across one at a time. When you see it from the air, from drone footage, it truly transforms it. It comes alive. You begin to see it as you would ordinarily see it as a person walking through it. And also, more importantly, because the drone allows you to survey these landscapes as well through, you know, various means, through photogrammetry, structure from motion, LIDAR survey now I think is coming on stream. This will allow you to produce a very detailed three-dimensional model of these landscapes and to be able to view it on your computer screen or your television screen in a way never before seen. So I think that's just remarkable progress has been made in archaeological research over the course of a very short period of time, over a decade really, when all that was achieved.
Have you identified new features as a result of the drone work?
Multiple new features have come to light, because when you're in the field, you tend to concentrate more on the visible single monuments, you know, and you tend not to join the dots as easily because you're simply not aware of all of these interconnecting features, field systems and whatnot. And I think the drone technology not only allows you to have a bird's eye view of it, but it also allows you to map features in exquisite detail and to look at these features as part of that landscape. So we're seeing it in its entirety for the first time.
Lorna, this must be making the work of international projects a lot easier too.
Yes, Sarah. Paul Nessens was mentioning earlier that drone imagery can save time and money, though of course flying drones is governed by legislation and he has to have a licence from the Irish Aviation Authority, and his equipment licence, insurance and batteries cost about €40,000, he told me. And while researchers can really benefit from the technology, there has to be good material too to work from, such as that at Roscam, where an ancient harbour was discovered in 2011 by archaeologist Michael Gibbons and Dr. Jim Higgins of the Galway City Heritage Office. And Roscam is also renowned for two bullion stones, which have impressions that are reputed to be marks from St. Patrick's knees, as he prayed for 40 days and nights during Lent, non-stop, of course. And Dr. Stephen Matthews of the University of Minnesota is really excited because those bullion stones are thought to have been grinding stones for iron ore, and so the impressions are not those of a poor saint's knees. And he explained the significance of Roscam and why he and his students, and no doubt a drone or three, will be coming back there.
Roscam Abbey, this area, is almost a microcosm of the history of Ireland. You have Bronze Age through early Christian. Of course, there was a Viking raid here in 805. And then you have this wonderful medieval structure that seems to have expanded over time. There's so much here that we don't see today, and it's the stuff we don't see today that we're really particularly interested in with the ground-penetrating radar and conductivity. We've already done a complete conductivity probe of this quarter of the monastery, so that'll determine, as Jim was saying, you know, there was some metalworking going on here. We'd like to know exactly where, what its relation is to perhaps the port and the abbey community as well. You know, this is a major economic center of the bay here, and that's kind of what we're looking at. I was really excited about this site because of the size of the walls and the shape. And then when we looked on the satellite, we see a number of potential harbor features. So there's definitely one. And where you have a harbor, then you have economic activity. And with something like imported ore, the type of economic structure here would have been pretty complex for the time. We first heard about Roscam from Michael Gibbons. We were talking about first we were looking for possibilities for students to do internships. I began a museum studies program along with my colleague David Woodward a few years ago, and we liked the idea of having internships outside of the United States so we can get a different perspective, a different level of expertise, different approaches to doing things, and our students will be that much more hireable then. And so we spoke with Michael Gibbons, and he started talking about some very interesting sites in and around Galway Bay. And it just fired our imagination. And so then we made a point of talking with Jim last year and realizing there's an awful lot of work that we can do here. Wrote a grant at the end of the summer, and there we have money for about 3 years of investigating at this site. Right.
And that was Dr. Stephen Matthews of the University of Minnesota, ending Lorna Sigland's report from Galway.